This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bar on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Fiona. Oh, I don't know what's going on this morning. I've got a mouthful of marbles.
He needs new teeth.
Well, I've had teeth. I've spent a lot of
That's
money.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Fiona, our producer, is my co-host this morning. Our next guest is Jeff Wilson from Wilson Asset Management. And I want to preface this by saying this is not investment advice, okay? This is a general discussion. We're going to have a discussion about the budget, some recent changes to taxation. And I wanted to know, Jeff, what are your feelings? How do you see the economy in the next year or so? Do you think we're heading into a recession in Australia, or do you think we might just miss out on it?
Hi Macca and hi Fiona, and yeah, thanks to your listeners for tuning in. In terms of my view is, I think it's going to be a pretty tough 12 months, particularly and globally. We had a period, a 10 or 20 year period with falling interest rates, and very strong economic growth, and unfortunately, economies do go in cycles, sort of like nature and life. And unfortunately, the other side is a little bit of pain. So, I think we've seen, we're tasting a little bit of that pain, but I actually think it'll increase in terms of unemployment going up. That tends to be a lagging indicator. But also, with higher interest rates, that'll slow demand. And effectively, the economy will readjust. My 12-month view is, I'd batten down the hatches. I'd make sure, I didn't have too much debt. So I could, we could sail through that. And then, when things do pick up on the other side, whether we get a recession or not, it tends to be technical. But I just, we'll definitely have a slowing economy domestically as well as internationally. I actually think Australia will do better. And that's really because probably something we'll talk about a little later is, the Labor government, back in the early 80s, Paul Keating, he put in a dividend imputation system, which really does protect Australian companies, and that's why Australia did really well during the GFC, even though it was a tough period, in Australia and globally. But Australian companies did a lot better than international companies, and Australian companies are again well positioned. That doesn't mean unemployment won't go up and there won't be some pain, but at least we're well positioned.
Because I think people, and we'll get to this in a moment, none of the indicators operate on their own before we get to this tax issue. When interest rates are high, that has an impact in driving down where people place their money, whether it's the share market or in the bank. When unemployment is low, that has an impact on demand, it has an impact on prices, inflation. So you've got all these factors playing in there. Australia has low unemployment. It actually has high inflation, certainly not to the extent that the UK and some other countries have. And interest rates, are rising. So you've got all these things playing out there. One of the challenges for the government, isn't it, Jeff, is how to balance revenue and spending. And governments are always looking for ways to increase revenue. And in fact, before the last election, the federal opposition, as it was then, promised couple of things. One, they would not alter the Stage 3 tax cuts, which are due to come in 2024, although they are now, to use the Treasurer's words, having a discussion with the community about this. My view is those Stage 3 tax cuts should be looked at in the light of the economic circumstances we face and perhaps modified a bit, but the government is going to have that discussion. The other promise they made was that they would not in any way, shape or form touch franking credits. Now, I have to say, Jeff's position on franking credits and mine are not the same. I didn't think before the last election that the government, the opposition's policy should have been implemented. I believed it should have been changed. I think, Jeff's, your view was that basically it was a really, really bad policy. I thought it needed some change. So we're not on the same page, but I think franking credits needs to be looked at. But the government gave a promise before the election that they would not touch franking credits. And guess what? They have. They've made a change to franking credits that's going to generate, I think, over 3 years, $500 million in revenue. So they actually broke a promise, didn't they?
Unfortunately, they have, yes.
But, you know, surely that $500 million, however many dollars, is needed in other parts of the community.
It is.
Oh, and I agree with that. And, like, to me, but it's all about being holistic rather than piecemeal. And to me, the funny thing is, you know, you've got currently a Labor government. I actually feel, I think, a little bit sorry for the government because I think wool pulled over their eyes by Treasury. And I was, you know, doing some research the other day, and there was a article that Paul Keating wrote in,
yes,
in, you know, February 2013, and just saying, look, you know, he was saying how good the dividend imputation system is, you know, providing fully franked dividends in terms of how it helps Australians and the Australian economy. And he said, but be careful with Treasury. And he talks about every 7 years, Treasury will try to remove, you know, franking credits. But I don't understand, you know, the incredible benefit that the dividend imputation system does. So I've got no problem with them changing things as long as it's more holistic rather than piecemeal. And what worries me here is, you know, you've got and it's interesting, you know, Keating's been quiet over this period, the last month. I remember a year or two ago when I was making a bit of noise about franking, he rang me. He thought he had a conspiracy theory about what I was doing. And I said, no, you're right off track there. I mean, we've got 130,000 shareholders. They're low income earners, self-managed super funds. And we're standing up for them. That's why, you know, we're making so much noise about this. Let me give it back to you, Mac. Sorry.
Why do you think it is, Jeff, that, and look, you know, my position is I think the franking credit system needs reform, right? I think it is too generous by far.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else governments do has a household or a personal income limit on it, right? Whether it's, you know, Medicare levy, whether it's childcare, family tax benefit, all of this, they have limits on them. Franking credits doesn't, and it needs to have a limit.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm
or be progressive,
or
like,
be,
like,
yeah,
like the other tax system. Like, to me, I had no problem. Like, back in 2019, I know we're fighting Labor because it was illogical and unfair, their system back there. And back then, I had no problem if it's a progressive thing.
Mm.
You know, like the people that are getting, you know, look after the people that need it.
Yeah.
And they're the sad story. They're the ones that are going to get significantly impacted by these changes. You know, the wealthy, you know, they can pay more. I got no problem with that.
Because I think, and, you know, the reality is that the government doesn't have an appetite for having this discussion again. Because they got so burnt last time. Interestingly, the opposition hasn't made any comment about this change.
No, there's been no
I haven't seen anything from Angus Taylor or Peter Dutton about it. What annoys me is
I think they're letting us do all the work. So
okay.
I think my understanding is I think you'll see something at some point.
Okay.
they're letting people in the industry, you know, that think it's unfair. Yeah,
I think a really good discussion about franking credits needs to be had, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I will probably land in a different place, Jeff, but probably on in the same chapter, not on the same page. But what's happened here is we were given a promise that they wouldn't touch it, and they've done it. That upsets me because it means, well, what else? What other election promises have they made? And I don't care who the government is. When you make a promise, you're elected on that, and you then break it, I get really upset about that. So what sort of feedback have you had from government on this, Jeff? Have they brushed you away?
No feedback. I mean, we've had a lot of feedback from our shareholders and just the stories of the ones that are going to be negatively impacted. And to me, I think the naivety and some of the articles, and I don't know who was giving the journalists a spin, they're sort of saying, oh, look, this $550 million is going to come from the big super funds. The big super funds, like we as fund managers, we manage $5 billion. We don't participate in those buybacks because they're at a lower price. We want to get the highest price possible. The franking credits, that's not our concern. We will pay tax and be able to pay fully franked dividends to our shareholders. Mm. So it's really the main participants in this are the self-managed super funds, the mum and dad investors, or the people on a lower tax rate than 30%. Now, personally, I'm on a 48% rate. So if I get a fully franked dividend, then I've got to pay another 18% tax. So I'd prefer not to get the dividend and get the capital gain, then I only pay half my tax rate.
Mm.
So to me, it's I mean, some of this conversation is a little naive. They think it's the rich, the big end of town. It's irrelevant for the rich and the big end of town. And the money is coming from, it's not a well thought out, as you said, breaking of a promise. Back in 2019, they tried to stop the individuals from getting the franking. Now what they're trying to do is stop the companies from paying the franking.
Yeah.
And to me, the problem with this, it is a slippery slope.
Yeah.
There was a similar system to this in the UK. Once you start taking bits of it off, then what happens is, if Labor's still in government, then they say, well, actually, it doesn't work that well anymore, so let's remove it.
Yeah.
And the reason we've got a fantastic financial system is because Australian companies want to invest in Australia. They want to employ Australians. They want to pay tax in Australia. They don't borrow because it's better for them to raise capital because their cost of capital is cheaper because of the franking system.
Mm.
So, and Keating knew that.
Mm.
And he warned us, that be careful of Treasury.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, these guys that had the wool pulled out of their eyes, I know they need to raise capital, but let's do it holistically.
Yeah.
And let's not break promises and let's not destroy a system that has really done the whole of Australia, everyone, incredibly well. And let's take out, as you said, Macca, I'm with you. Let's take out, Dick Smith came out after the last election. Oh, I got a half million dollar.
Yeah, franking credit.
Franking credit, refund. What do I do with it? He shouldn't get that.
He should have donated it to Joy. Yeah. He should have donated it to Joy.
100%.
Unfortunately, Jeff, we're out of time. It's an interesting subject, and I think people find it a bit difficult to understand. The crux of this is there does need to be a change, but a discussion needs to be had. Don't make a promise you then break the government, because that's what's happened.
Thanks, Jeff, for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks, Macca.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.